Investing in property makes sense. Investing in the right property takes knowledge. Welcome to the Rewarding Property Decisions podcast. I'm Jared McCabe, Director of Wakeland Property Advisory. Join me for expert insights into the fundamentals, trends and opportunities to help you create long-term wealth through smart property decisions.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 66 of the Rewarding Property Decisions podcast. So buying property for anyone is likely to be one of, if not the biggest decision of your lifetime. And there are many barriers that people need to jump over to, in order to get to that point. Things like, where should I buy? What type of property should I buy? What's the purpose of this buy in the first place? And that doesn't even really get into looking at the finance that they need to organise, speaking to solicitors and other due diligence service providers that you need to get on board prior to purchasing a property. So these are all really elements of the process of buying property and things that need to actually be done before you do buy. But what about the mental side of things? And I think that's a really big part, and it's not something that's spoken about all that often when buying property. And many people go through that process, make the decision around, yes, I'm going to buy. They go and speak to the bank about the funds that they're going to need and get all their service providers lined up, and then they start searching. But there's not a lot of consideration that's put in place around the mental barriers that you do need to get past. Now, we've found over the years that there's two main barriers that people put in front of themselves when buying property in terms of probably mental characteristics or profiles that they need to consider. It's those that probably suffer from FOMO, which, as we all know, is fear of missing out. And the other one, which is probably not as common, is FOBO, which is fear of a better option. Now, these two phrases were coined by a venture capitalist by the name of Patrick McGuinness about 20 years ago in a paper that he wrote while at Harvard Business School. Now, at some stage, I'd suggest that nearly all of us would be able to say that we've suffered from either FOBO or FOMO in relation to some form of decision that we've had to make. But there's also degrees of FOBO and FOMO. So I thought today we could have a look at how they can afflict you during the buying process and some steps that you can try and implement if you feel as though you are suffering from this to try and help you get past it to make a clear decision when it comes to buying property. So we'll look at FOMO first, and it's probably the more common element or form of fear when it comes to buying and mental aspect that you need to get past. Buyers with the fear of missing out feel as though that they're never going to buy a property. It's very common in a rising market. They can perhaps miss out on a couple of opportunities, go to a couple of auctions, get beaten, or perhaps not be able to buy during a private sale and feel as though this is just never going to happen. So they start to make irrational decisions. And what it can lead to, particularly with FOMO, is being very impulsive. And that can mean that you miss out on steps or don't do things that you would normally do. And it can lead to making some pretty significant mistakes. So that's what I wanted to go through, is what some of these mistakes might look like if you do fall into that impulsive side of things and start to really worry about missing out on opportunities. So let's have a look at the first one, and that's really committing to a purchase before you've had a chance to do all the due diligence that you would like to do. So things like you haven't really completed the financial process, or you haven't put in elements that your bank or broker have suggested that you need to do. And if the purchase falls over because for whatever reason your finance isn't fine, or you've stretched a bit further and evaluation doesn't stack up, then that can lead to you foregoing your deposit. And that can put you significantly back in the buying process, because if you lose that 10% deposit that you've potentially had to pay, it can prevent a future purchase because you've then got to save that money again. The other element in this due diligence process is contract reviews, and there could be, by not getting this done, unreasonable clauses that don't get identified, or unreasonable expectations that are put on a buyer, or opportunities for a vendor to escape responsibilities. So you need to get that contract check done so that these processes are followed through and any of these elements are identified by a conveyancer or solicitor. And then the final one, which we speak about regularly, is obviously a building inspection, particularly with houses, which identifies any issues that may have impacted your decision to buy a property, may have impacted how much you're prepared to pay, or it may have impacted whether or not you're actually prepared to buy that property at all. So you really need to get that done as opposed to skipping that step. The next mistake that FOMO can lead to is buying the wrong property. So you haven't taken the time to ensure that you are really everything about this property, or as many elements about this property, are exactly what you've been looking for. So does it meet the certain things that you've identified as key elements to the property that you're looking to purchase? So does it have the right, is it the right size? Does it have all the right living spaces, kitchens, that sort of thing that you have found important? Is it in the right condition? Does it have the right number of bedrooms and bathrooms? Is the land area big enough for a backyard, perhaps for kids, or did you want to put a pool in at some stage? And does it have the amount of car parking that you might need, subject to surrounding development and congestion in streetscapes and things like that? So these are really important things that need to be considered. And once the purchase is made, if you haven't done that, it's probably going to be too late. The next element things that are important to identify or can lead to mistakes is that may have influenced your decision that you perhaps didn't get time to identify. So have you looked at the surrounding development, and are there adjoining uses that may not be ideally what you were looking for? And if you don't go through that process prior to purchasing, you may not notice them until afterwards. Or does it have the access to services that you're really wanting? Does it have public transport nearby? Are you in the right school zone? All these sorts of things can be really important. The next is that mistakes can be around paying too much for a property because you haven't had the time to do the appropriate amount of research in terms of comparable sales and analysis. And then you're not understanding the market. So if you haven't gone around and looked at, well, this is what similar properties are selling for, and therefore this is what I need to be thinking around in terms of values. And if you don't know your comparable sales, it's going to make it really difficult to analyse where value should sit and how much you should be prepared to pay. And market sentiment can be a really big part in this process as well, because you need to be able to look at what the market's been doing in recent times, and therefore, is it pushing up or is it pulling back? And therefore, can I afford to be a little bit push a bit harder in terms of the negotiations, or do I need to be prepared to step in front of the market and really and get myself into the game? And then finally, from the mistakes perspective, is paying more than perhaps you might have needed to. Not just paying too much, but more than what you, it may well have been value at $1 million, it may still, but did you actually have to pay that? Could you have purchased the property for $950 as an example? And that really comes about from not understanding the buying process and the elements to that the agent in this instance is putting forward. And you start to rush without really seeking clarity and don't necessarily understand what's required from you and what the agent is going to do. So it might be a case of, well, is it going to be a highest and best, or is it going to go to an auction? And you may have thought that it was going to be a highest and best scenario. You've put forward a really strong offer, when in actual fact, if there was going to be any competition for this property, it had reverted to a boardroom auction. And if you'd got a boardroom auction, you get more transparency in that process. So did you really need to step forward and put your highest offer in right at the start, you may have been able to hold back a bit more and still been able to purchase the property. These sorts of things are mistakes that you need to be mindful of. Okay, so what are some of the steps that you can put in place to avoid making mistakes as a result of FOMO? And preparation is one of the big ones. You need to know your service providers before you start the process so that you can get all these things ticked off. And that involves doing your homework around comparable sales as well, and preparing yourself for the buying process so that you don't feel as though you're being rushed and have to make decisions really quickly without understanding what's required of you. The next is, when it comes particularly to identifying a property, is to create a list for yourself. You can sort of almost grade it into three categories, and you can have a sector where it's non-negotiables. The property must have A, B, and C. And that might be, it must be a three-bedroom, it must have two bathrooms, it must be on at least 400 square metres. So these sorts of things in terms of what's required. We must be able to live in this property to start with, as opposed to some people might prefer to have something that they can do their own work to. Then you can look at categorise preferable elements. These are things that we would really like to have. We would really prefer that these are in the property. And then the last one might be, look, it'd be nice to have these, but we don't have to have them. Now, if you've got those three categories set up, it's going to mean that you're far less likely to miss elements. And if you are feeling a bit rushed, you can go through that and tick boxes and say, okay, we're ready to go. This property does meet our requirements. The next one is sales analysis, and that's certainly an absolute must. You need to know your market. You need to attend auctions prior to, and you need to study your comparable sales. Now, if you're looking at a fairly similar property each time in similar locations, you may not need to do comparable sales analysis because you'll know them. But if you're moving around a bit and you've got a wider area or a wider range of property types that you're considering, then you might need to review those each week. But if you're constantly doing this on a weekly basis, it'll mean that you're more across these things. Every time that you go into a negotiation or go into purchasing a new property, understand the rules of engagement. It's non-negotiable, and you need to look at it differently every time, because every agent will do things, handle the process in a different manner. So it's really important to understand what's going to be required of you and what the agent is going to do in that process, so that you understand fully how best to buy the property. And then finally, you need to keep in the back of your mind that there will always be another property. So don't feel as though you have to buy this one. And that's a really easy thing for me to sit back here and say, but we have this conversation on a regular basis, and it's something that's really important for buyers to remember. This one might be absolutely dream price, and you do need to do everything. But if there's elements that are making you concerned, you need to recognize that. Okay, so let's have a look at FOBO now, which is fear of better options. Now, it's probably got less publicity and not as common in terms of its day-to-day speak, but it is just as much of an issue in terms of the buying process. It's almost like analysis by paralysis. People overlook at things, and it leads to buyers feeling overwhelmed by possibilities that they could have, and then they're unable to commit to buying a property. So now, quite often FOBO will result in buyers constantly looking back at properties that they should have chosen in the past and didn't buy. So it's that sort of woulda, coulda, shoulda feeling that we could have done something in the past, and you're always looking back and thinking, well, that property was better, and then hoping that something better will come in the future. Now, it can lead to a number of issues, and that's what we wanted to have a look at today. The first one is missing out on really good opportunities that have gone that will present you, but feeling as though there'll be something better that will come. And that's the biggest issue, is that we'll feel as though there's always going to be something better. This one's really good, but I think that there'll be something that will tick every box going forward. They'll find something that's really close to what they're looking for, but hopeful that the 10 out of 10 property will come next week. And so we'll wait until that one comes through. So you're always waiting for something that has everything, rather than being appreciating that this one is very close to what we've always wanted. The next element or next issue that FOBO quite often causes is that it leads to the market getting away from you. And as a buyer, you're then having to play catch up because you're waiting for that next property to come online. Particularly in a rising market, choosing to leave a property could mean that you don't get to buy really what you want. And the next one might be weeks or even months away that does come close to ticking your boxes. But what that means is, over that period of time, the market starts to rise, and that type of property is no longer in your budget. So then you have to make adjustments. Perhaps you need to make to look at buying a smaller house that perhaps may not meet your physical requirements. You might have to buy a house which is in inferior condition, which will then require renovation works or upgrading, which really initially wasn't what you wanted to do. You might need to buy a smaller block of land, and as a result, this property becomes more of a stepping stone rather than the property that you were hoping to perhaps have your family grow up in. So it might lead to extra steps in the buying process. Or it might mean that you need to somehow secure more funds to be able to buy that property that you perhaps could have bought a few months ago, but now with the market movement, you're having to wait. And then finally, the other issue that it can lead to is that there's a failure almost to understand that the better the property with the better options or the more elements that you're after is actually unattainable with the budget that you're working with. So they tend to find that they're waiting for the perfect property and passing on properties that aren't quite perfect, but that could still be really suitable. But you're not necessarily understanding that if the next property does come up and it does have all of those elements that you're really looking for, it's then actually not going to be within your budget. And as a result, you're still playing catch up in that market. And when the right property does come up, you're still not able to purchase it. So these are things that need to be considered. The perfect property for most people, and we have this discussion with many people, is a lot of people might say, oh, if I just had $200,000 or if I just had an extra $50,000 or whatever, wherever you might sit in the budget, I'd be able to get what I want. But chances are, if you had that extra funds, you would probably want another step a little bit further on. It's human nature. It's not something to be critical of. It's just that if we had the extra funds, we'd probably want a little bit more out of the property itself. So what are some of the steps that you can use to avoid FOBO mistakes? I think the big one is to understand that no property is ever going to be a 10 out of 10. And you really need to make friends with that. Nothing's going to be perfect. Unless you buy the land yourself and build your dream home because you've got the budget to do it, it's highly unlikely that the property's going to be 10 out of 10 perfect. And once you understand that and you don't hold out for it, then you can move forward and understand that there's compromises that you can make. If you can get the property that where the elements that you can't change about the property are right, then you can make the other elements to it in line over time what you're looking for. A bit like with FOMO, I think if you create a list for property selection, then you can look at it and say, well, this does have nearly all of the elements that we required as non-negotiables. We've got a few of our preferred elements and we've got a few of the would-be nice categories covered as well. And as a result, we've got a property that's pretty close. And so although we might be able to find something better down the track, this is a really good option for us. And this is something that we need to consider. And if you're not too rigid with that selection criteria, that then you are going to be able to avoid making mistakes through FOBO. And then another one is to remember what the purpose of your purchase was in the first instance. So really try and always think back and say, well, why are we buying this property? Are we buying it as a purely investment property? So I need to stop putting on some of my lifestyle characteristics on what might be the case going forward. Is it our first home or is it an upgraded home? And if it's one of those two, understand that it's probably part of your stepping stone process. It doesn't need to be absolutely perfect forever and a day, because the chances are at some stage we'll probably sell this one and take a step up the property ladder. But if it is my forever home, this is where you're probably starting to think, well, we need to have as many elements as possible as we can get right. And that's probably where it does start to, there's more of an understanding and that's probably more reasonable to have those requirements. Or if it's a downsize, again, we may not be moving too many more times if it's a downsize home. So we want to get as many elements to that right as possible as well. And then finally, just to be realistic with your goals. You can't always buy your dream home. And again, that shouldn't be seen as a major negative. This is what most people have to make compromises in their life in different forms. So don't feel as once you've got that list in place, it means that you might have to forego some elements, but hopefully you can tick as many boxes as possible. All right, so let's just have a quick look at a couple of stories. The FOMO side of things, it's quite common, and we're really able to control the FOMO process a bit more than FOBO with our clients. We do quite regularly sit our clients down to get a clear understanding of what their objectives are in terms of the buying property. And so what we're able to do is explain what they are doing and why they shouldn't be doing that. So if they are jumping ahead and coming in saying, I've got this property, I really need to buy, well, we can sit them down, have a clear conversation around what the objectives are, and then help them to understand, well, you seem to be rushing this. So I had a recent example of a prospective client coming into the office wanting to buy an investment property. They'd been presented with an opportunity to buy what they were told was the last off the plan property within this development. And their accountant had suggested to them at the time that they should focus on depreciation and tax benefits. That would help them from an income perspective. And they'd found this property, and a developer had said to them that this last property would be going soon, and that the client needed to buy it before the end of the financial year from a tax perspective. So they really wanted to move forward. So I went through all of their objectives of buying property, but really what they should be. Now, for many of you, you'll have heard us talk about creating wealth is the main reason to buy an investment property, and it shouldn't be about the tax benefits. And these were the reasons why. And after a sort of an hour and a half meeting, they really started to understand where I was coming from and why. And so they withdrew from this purchase. Not that they hadn't put any money down, but they decided, no, that this one wouldn't be right. And now they're going through the reorganising of their finances and hoping to purchase a property at some stage over the next 12 to 18 months. So they've taken a step back and are really now going through a more controlled, planned process with buying the right investment property. Now, under the FOBO side of things, the most common issue that we find with FOBO is, as we said, it leads to buyers looking back and they wish they'd purchased at some stage in the past. So you tend to find that there's an element of regret when it comes to FOBO. And without giving a classic example or a one-off example, because it happens so regularly that we have this conversation up front with clients that it's it might be the first property that you've seen, but we see, particularly when it comes to buying an investment property, but we see so many properties a week that although this is the first one you've seen, you need to feel comfortable that this is a really good investment property. And we go through all the elements as to why on an individual basis. But it doesn't need, just because it's the first one doesn't mean it's not the right one. And so don't feel as though you need to see five before you buy the first property, because you quite often will then look back at one of those five and say, oh, gee, we should have bought that first one that had all of those elements. And so then there's these elements of regret, or maybe the next one we find will be as good as that. And it's this constant looking for grass is always greener. So I think hopefully what you can take away from today is that you need to not let fear get in the way of buying good properties, whether it's fear of missing out or whether it's fear of a better option. Don't let fear get in the way. And if you put some of these steps in place before really launching into your search for a home or an investment property, then it will hopefully help you to clarify things and make clear decisions and not feel as though you're taking a really significant risk or making the wrong decision. So that's about it for today. Thanks for joining me for episode 66 of the Rewarding Property Decisions podcast. As always, please feel free to share the podcast far and wide with friends, family, and colleagues. And if you would like further information on how to make rewarding property decisions, please visit our website, wakelin.com.au. And otherwise, we wish you all the best with your property decisions.